with your fears, of dealing with the things, the possible bad turns that what you were doing was about to do, could do. And you did it. Why? Because there was some joy that inspired you to do so. Now, I have to say, one of my prayers as I contemplated showing you that this morning is that I sincerely do not hope to have done what one of these little things do and get someone to go and jump off a cliff somewhere with the few pieces of fabric on. If you do that, just say it was your own idea, okay? Because I don't want any part of getting someone to do that. I sincerely don't want that. But anyway, for the joy. We don't have much time, but we have time enough that I think you will get the message that's on my heart for you this morning. A message that there is so much more at stake and so much more joy for you than you have imagined and opened the door for yourself to experience. And as we talk about this, we want to go right to the place that was referred to in our scripture, right to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And look at what he did. And look at and ask him, Jesus, why did you do what you were doing? You know, when people talk about skydiving, they say, people go, and they use the term insane sometimes, people go and they're up in a perfectly good plane. Airworthy completely, and they jump out of a perfectly good plane. Why? You talk about a perfectly good plane, P-L-A-N-E, or P-L-A-I-N, perfectly good plane. Jesus was in a perfectly good plane. Do you know that's true? Jesus was in a perfectly good plane. He was there in the glories and beauty of heaven. And he decided to jump out. He decided to jump out into space and make his way to this place that was the most problematic and dangerous place in the universe for him, especially coming as a little baby. You can talk to any bungee jumper, any skydiver, any base jumper, any wingsuit flyer, any crazy daredevil, any Snake Canyon jumper, any crazy daredevil that you can talk about, and nothing compares to what Jesus did when he approached the edge of heaven and jumped out to come here. Philippians chapter 2 describes it, starting in verse 5. Where it says that he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself. And being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself and took the form of a servant and became obedient even unto death, death on the cross. That's the longest distance from jumping spot to the bottom that anyone has ever gone in the history of the universe. Jesus, my hero, I pray your hero, the boldest, bravest, most amazing in all of the history of the universe, he did that. And he saw the whole thing when he jumped off. He saw, forgive the rawness of it, when he jumped, he saw the splat that he was heading for. And for you and for me, he did it. It's in the verse that was read, and I want to go right to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And Wallace read the details that follow. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men. Can you picture the opposition that Jesus endured from sinful men? How that he was, during his life of going around doing good, teaching people the goodness and the love of the Father, teaching them the way of his new kingdom, was scorned, was taunted, was questioned with hostile questions, with people who were trying to undercut him and get him off track and derail him at every turn, who was hanging out and trying to teach disciples who sometimes got it and sometimes so far from even coming close to got it. Jesus went through all that. And then, after this adventurous life, filled with the joys and disappointments of his ministry, then to be grabbed, to be beat, to be questioned, to be taunted, to have crown of thorns crunched onto his head, drawing his blood, to be whipped, to be flogged, to be mocked in every way. He saw the whole thing, and he did it for the joy of you. He did it for the joy of having you in his family forever. That's what he did it for. And as he focused on that joy, because it says that was the one thing that made it so he could do it. As he focused on that joy, for that joy, he endured the cross. And what does it say? He despised the shame. I love that. He endured the cross. He endured the cross. He was hanging there. He was suffering. He could barely breathe. But more than that, of his own free choice, the guilt of all of your sins and mine and everyone who ever lived in the history of the world and everyone who ever will live in the history world all came crushing on him, separating him from the sweet, pure, beautiful, eternal fellowship and loving connection that he had had with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, cutting him off from his very lifeblood that had sustained him since forever in that fellowship. In that loving connection, our sin separated him and broke his heart. John makes a point of saying that when he died, blood and water came out of his side. A sign of a severe cardiac arrest, as I understand it. He did not die from the physical things. He died from that spiritual torment, that separation that he freely accepted just so that he could have the opportunity to have you and me in his family forever. He promised before it all, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And what? This is the for the joy part. Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the for the joy of Jesus. Biggest jump in the history of the universe that didn't end well and then ended gloriously as he rose from the dead to fulfill every promise that he made through his coming to earth, his dying, and his raising. That is what Jesus was focusing on. He was focusing on that day when he gets to have you with him in his kingdom. And for that, shame comes knocking at his door. He despised shame. Shame says, you shouldn't do this. You are the king of the universe. At the very least, here on this earth, you're a rabbi. You've been a teacher of people, unloading to them the glories and goodness of God and of his kingdom. You shouldn't have to do this. You shouldn't have to be treated like a criminal. You shouldn't have to hang in front of these people with your clothes ripped off. You shouldn't have to do this. And Jesus says to shame, get out of here. I have people that I created, that I am here to redeem into my family, to give them the abundant life that they were created for, to open the doors for them to swim in the love of heaven and of the new earth, their original purpose, their original design, the original plan. Leave me alone, shame. And as he endured the opposition from sinful man and might have been tempted to give up, in the garden, we know he said, Father, if there's any other way, can you please take this cup from me? Nevertheless, for the joy, he said, not my will, but yours be done, because he wanted you. Now, as you look at this picture, I want you to think. You can see some of the faces in that picture. And others, you can only see the back of their heads. I want you to think about who those people might be whose faces you can't see. Because you know what? God has designed for you to be part of someone's journey to heaven. God has designed for you to play a part, to be the opening step, the opening door that opens the way for someone to come back into his family. I have time enough to do this. I'm wondering, is there anyone here, and don't make up any stories to help me out, because I can handle it if there's no one here that fits the description that I'm asking. But I'm wondering if there's anyone here who your first step into the family was someone knocking on your door. Is there anyone here? Okay, I'll put the microphone down. You can just raise your hand, and then I'll pick the microphone up. Is there anyone here? Is there anyone here whose first step into the family was perhaps a brochure that you got in the mail? I see a couple right here. You, right? And you? First step, a piece of paper. And sometimes we despise those pieces of paper, don't we? Some of the things they have on them, we're not quite sure about. But first step, for two of our family members to come into the family. Isn't that amazing? Do you think it was worth it, the postage on those papers? I certainly think it was. I think it was worth, you know, for every person that actually attends a meeting, there's a couple more of the, I have a firm belief in preventing things like people stepping on burr clovers or burrs. When we mail out those flyers, it used to be that for every 100 flyers that we would mail out, maybe 5 to 6 people would come on a good thing. It's less now. But is it worth it to mail out several thousand flyers to have these two here with us today? I would definitely say it is. Now I'm going to ask another question. Is there anyone here because of someone else who's in this room? You're the ones I really want to talk to. Where? Right over here. Okay, I'm going to talk to a couple people. They're going to get to listen. You're going to get to listen. This is one of the reasons to come to church, to find out what God has done and how you can get on board with what he wants to do. Lynn, who was it?
George, my husband.
Oh, he's right handy. Right here. Was it worth it?
Oh, definitely.
Was it scary at all?
Not at all.
Not at all. All right. You're one of those guys. All right. And Our new finance chair. Who was it?
My lovely wife.
Your lovely wife. Mm-hmm. This is a loaded question. Was it worth it?
34 years worth it.
34 years worth it. Amen. And I saw someone over here. Huh? Where is he? I'm just blind. What's going on? Oh, there's Josh. All right. You might be saying to yourself, yeah, married couples. Those are married couples. So spouse brings spouse in. Josh isn't married. I can't wait to hear your story. Who was it, Josh?
My friend Josh.
Your friend Josh. Praise the Lord. Was it worth it, Josh? Whatever it took? Praise the Lord. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross and despised the shame. Jesus endured the cross and despised the shame for the joy. So here's what I want and pray that your takeaway is this morning. We are here on this earth to open the doors of God's family. You might get tired of me saying it, but if you came to Jesus simply so that you could get to heaven, why aren't you there already? Soon as you believed, don't need to wait for any secret rapture. Why are you still here? You are here because God wants to shine through you. God wants to work through you, a fellow human being, to win other fellow human beings into his family. And time is getting short. God sees the process that was started by that little goat head burr expanded into weeds that are causing suffering that breaks his heart every day. The evil and wickedness that is done from one to another, from groups to groups, is breaking his heart. And he is working his plan to save as many as possible, as many as are persuadable. He is not willing that any should perish, but wants all to come to repentance. And he wants to work with you, through you, in every way possible, to bring as many people back into the family as possible. And then he wants to come, and he wants to end the suffering, and he wants to get rolling with his plan to have a universe that goes forward into eternity on love and nothing but love and goodness and holiness and wonderfulness and care and every good thing that we can think of. He wants to get rolling on that eternal plan and for different people in your life right now. Not even for strangers that you might find knocking on doors. I would dare say you're looking at the back of some of their heads. Who's the face on the other side of that head that God wants to work through you to bring into his family? And yes, there are people that you have never met, and we're looking at the back of their heads. Faces that we have not seen. The team. And I want to tell you this as something I am certain of. That this team that's here, and whoever of us will join with that team, this team is going to result in people coming into the family. People who start studying God's word with someone who cares. People who pray with someone. People who are ready when Pastor Anil comes and they've already learned so much and they're on their way and they are harvested into the family. And we get to splash these waters. Splash these waters with baptisms as people mark their entry into the family of God. And it starts with you, your friends, family members. It starts with those of you who have the calling and the gift, and you might feel scared about it and everything, but for the joy are willing to go knock on a door and find someone you never met who's been longing for someone to show them the way to the life abundant that Jesus promises. They are waiting. Please. So many of my sermons end this way. Say yes. What Jesus is calling you, his deepest heart's desire, the reason that he despised the shame and endured the cross, for that joy, he says, come participate with me. We had some meetings up in McKinleyville when I was there. I should have put a picture up of Nita. But there was a lady from Alaska who came down. She had come down from Alaska and was living in our area, working on a pot farm. And she came down to Trinidad, little town up there, to the post office to check her mail, and she saw a card. I don't think it even came in her mailbox. She saw a card sitting on the counter, as so many do when we send these mailings. It said something about Revelation, and she thought, I wondered about a Revelation. I want to know. And she thought, well, too bad. I must have missed it. But she looked on it, and she saw on the card it said, today's date. And so she came to our church there in McKinleyville that day in her little, I think it's a Toyota truck, with the smallest possible camper you could imagine, shell on it. And she came to our church to hear Amazing Facts evangelist Tyler Long begin his series of meetings that he was holding there. To make a long story short, Nita gave her heart to Jesus. She became a member of our church family. I got to baptize her. One of our church members sponsored her to go to the Amazing Facts Center of Evangelism to get trained as a Bible worker. She went and she worked as a Bible worker. She just, at the end of this last school year, graduated, and I hope I don't get in trouble for guessing her age. I'll say I think she's at least my age. You think I'll get away with that, Stephanie? Yeah. I think she's at least my age. And she just graduated from Southern Adventist University along with her husband with their degree in theology, preparing for ministry. One card. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that amazing and wonderful? You could be part of a story like that. Can you imagine it? Some of you have. But if you haven't, can you imagine it? In some way, shape, or form, if it's knocking on doors, if it's inviting someone to a meeting, if it's starting a small group Bible study fellowship and inviting some friends who aren't part of the church family to be part of that, so that they can get integrated and fellowship with people and learn about God all in once, you could be part of that. And you can be in that scene with a friend that wasn't going to be there except for the fact that God touched them through you. Well, that's what I want. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus, and thank you, Jesus, for coming, for going to the edge of heaven and jumping to come here to us and doing what it took, the unimaginable suffering, so that we could be saved in your family, in your kingdom. Oh, Father, let that love transform our hearts today. Father, I pray for any who have not themselves made that decision to accept what Jesus has done and come into the family. I pray that today, just like Joey in the baptism, Father, that people here today who don't have that assurance of being in your family will say, yes, Jesus, you came for me and I am yours. I confess my sin, I confess my rebellions, the ways I've done things my own way, and thank you for taking all that on the cross for me and forgiving me. I am yours. for the rest of my life into eternity. Thank you for eternal life. And Father, I pray for all of us, the people that you put on our hearts. Father, some of them, the first step is for us to just start praying for them. And so, Father, as we think of those faces right now, I pray that you will call us to that commitment to pray for them, opening the way for your Holy Spirit to reach out in fresh ways in their lives, opening the way for your Holy Spirit to reach out to them through us. And Father, I pray for the spiritual bungee jumpers who are hearing the call to go knock on doors, to show up at 4:30 today and get started in being involved in this project. Father, I pray that you will give them the courage and the love to step over the edge and say, I'm in, and go for it, whatever it costs. Father, we think of the apostles who lost their lives for the privilege of telling the good news of Jesus. Father, we just want to do whatever it is that you call us to do so that we can be part of that joy too. And oh Lord Jesus, you've promised that this gospel of the kingdom will go as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Father, we are praying for all of the above. We want the gospel to go out through us and around us. We want people to come to Jesus, and we want Jesus to come because we want your kingdom to go forward. We want to be part of that beautiful forever that you have prepared for us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And as you may know, we have a new custom. Or we do it a cappella, Will. We do it a cappella. You'll learn. You'll learn. But this is the second verse of God be with you till we meet again. And I want you to feel as we sing this song that you are part of something bigger than yourself, something more full of love than you can get anywhere else, and something that is a gift from God to you, that we are meant to be together, and one day we will be forever. But for now, as often as we can. God be with you till we meet again. Neath his wings securely hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet, God be with you till we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.